Lord, amen. One more time that the Lord has truly blessed us to be here. And I don't know about you, but we're going to give him all the glory. Thank you so much to see my brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. Family, it's good to see you. Okay, let's go to Acts 19 tonight. John 19 tonight. That's where we are. John chapter 19 tonight. And we continue to see God at work. Amen. God at work. All right, we talked about the scorning. We talked about that last night. They hollered, verse number 6, crucify him. Crucify him. If you didn't get your handout, please see Brother Brown on 1 Samuel and Ruth. Today we started 1 Samuel. Read that beautiful love story on Ruth. The scheme of redemption. Thank God for the last chapter and those last few verses when he went down through the genealogy, didn't they? And I don't know about you, but I'm sure glad about it. And I hope that you are with us today as we study God's word. So they hollered, thank you, crucify him. Thank God to crucify him. In verse 7, the Jews answered him, for we have a law. We talked about that last week, the audacity. The audacity to bring some up but don't know what they're talking about in relationship to the 17 books. As to if they're going to bring up the law, they would have knew that the law would have told that Jesus was going to be that priest, that high priest. There would be the Lamb of God to come into this world to take away the sins of the world. Verse 8, when Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall and said unto Jesus, whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. And then said Pilate unto him, speakest thou not unto me? Knowest, underline that word, knowest thou, not only that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee. But look what Jesus said in verse number 11. He said, thou couldest have no power. This deity speaking now, y'all. See, this God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, 1 John 5:8, have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee has the greater sin. And what that sin, what that mean is that everything that we have, in spite of, whether you realize it or not. Because the Bible said in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, everything belonged to God and still is controlled by God because guess what? It is God. It is God. And sometimes I think that we, when we don't realize that, realize the God that we serve in relationship to the goodness and sovereignty of God and that God is a good God. That sometimes we miss the privilege of knowing who God is in relationship to his power and control that he have over the whole world. But look at the second part of that because he said here, therefore he that delivered me unto thee has the greater sin, that greater sin of not so much of killing him, but not knowing, being blind. See, it's like in the world today, see, there would not be no excuses on Judgment Day. James 1:25 says we have the perfect law of liberty. But the problem come in is that because you fail, as he prayed in 2 Corinthians 13:5, to examine yourself to know that you can comply, that's the greater sin. See, that is not to have the ability to know and to understand and to obey God's word. And that's the reason why you hear me all the time bring up 3 points. Number one is having an understanding. One of the biggest problems in the world today, he didn't understand. See, he was going along with the people who cried, crucify him, crucify him. Literally, he didn't know. He didn't have no idea as to what was going on in fulfillment of Scripture. Now, that's what we're talking about, in fulfillment of Scripture, because that's the only thing that we can go about. See, the only thing that we can go about That was written from Genesis up until now. In relationship, you know those 2-5 words we talked about? The enmity, the seed, the bruise, the head, the healing of Genesis 3:15, and fulfillment of scripture of Galatians 4:4, that in the fullness of time God was sent forth the Son under the law to redeem mankind. See, they didn't understand the redemption in relationship to understand what was and is the will of God. And the second thing, because they didn't understand, they didn't know. Like so many people today, I see so many people today know they need a religious experience. But they don't know how and why and what it is. And we got an example. Remember in Acts chapter 8 with the Ethiopian eunuch? Had been to Jerusalem to worship. And when Philip went up to him and said, do you understand what you're reading? He said, well, how can I accept some man should guide me? Now, he was a good man. Cornelius was the same way. But he didn't have the understanding as he was reading out the book of Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, to really know what the prophet was talking about. See, and that's what Jesus is talking about here. It was not so much them killing him, amen, because he wanted to die. He knew he had to die. He had to die. Because if he didn't die, if he hadn't died on the cross, we'd all be lost. Because if he hadn't died on the cross, there wouldn't have been no blood to purchase the church of Christ. Acts 20 and 28. It wouldn't have been no blood. You remember in Matthew 16? After he made that proclamation, upon this rock I will build my church. Then toward the end he said, tell no man. See, he said that because it wasn't the proper time. His time hadn't came. In relationship for his will to be done, but he knew what his will were even when he left heaven. Go to Philippians 2. Go ahead, Sean, while we go into Philippians 2 right quick. But see, what you're talking about there is right in relationship to one word, omnipotent. Omnipresent. That is, even though he took on human flesh, but he still was God. And then a lot of times, what he's saying here, see, a lot of times we don't have to say too much when we know we're right. See, a lot of times we try to prove things that we don't even have to prove. Because we know we're right. See, a lot of times we want to argue God's word, but we don't need to because we know we're right. See, a lot of times, sometimes it's good not to say nothing because you know you're right. See, and the reason why I say that, because, listen, Sean, even if Jesus would have told him to try to explain to him what was going on, he still wouldn't have understood. And it's the same thing with a lot of people. A lot of times, because, and this is the key word, brother, sin could be in the surroundings of the environment, or you may be in an environment of sin, where the seed of Luke 8:11 cannot penetrate. And because that is true, sometimes, regardless of what we say, you ain't going to believe it anyway. You're just not going to believe it because you can't believe it. You're blinded. You got a veil on. That's the reason why. A lot of times, see, a lot of people, because of what they say and the statements they make, see, because they don't have that understanding of Ephesians 5:17 to know, and they hadn't been transformed. See, literally, ain't nothing that you're going to make them see. It's like, if I go to you, how in the world are you going to understand the scheme of redemption? When number one, you can't intelligently know what the Bible is all about. When you can't write it, say, well, there's 66 books in the Bible, that's elementary. If you're religious, you should know that. If you got a Bible, you should know that. 39 in the old, 27 in the new, and break it down. See, in relationship, because see, all of them has a purpose. You know what I'm talking about? Look at the old, for example. You got the patriotic, you got the Pentateuch that goes to what? The history, through the book of encouragement, to the books of prophecy, but it all hinges on Genesis 3 and 15. That is, Jesus coming to redeem because of sin that was committed in the Garden of Eden. Well, see, if you don't understand that, well, how in the world are you going to understand? We try to explain to you of somebody say, well, y'all at church that don't use instrumental music. Well, we don't. Well, why? Why? The reason why we don't do it, because the Bible says don't give us a reason that we can't. Well, it's more than that. It's more than that. It's more than that. And the reason why I'm saying it's more than that, you can go back and look at from the beginning of time the way God legislates. God tells you what to do, and you don't have a choice in the matter but to do it. But if you don't understand the book of Leviticus, you don't understand the book of Deuteronomy, you don't understand what we are reading, well, how can you understand? So go back to what you said, Sean. See, Jesus didn't have to say too much because he wouldn't have understood anyway. Same way today. They just don't understand. You got people in the church who are saved don't understand. Because if they did, we wouldn't be divided the way we were. Right? Go ahead, brother. So that's a good point. Sometimes you have to. And the reason why is that people just don't understand. And they don't understand not because we don't have the perfect law of liberty. It's not because they cannot understand. But the Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God. And it's a process that you have to go through, amen, in order to come to that understanding. If you don't go through that process, you're going to miss it. And then number two, you got to realize who our adversary is. See, he want to confuse. See, he want to twist. He want to pervert the gospel so people can't be confused. Amen. Go back to Genesis 11. You remember that one? See, that's the reason why he had to what? Confound their language. Come on now. And that's the part that we need to see. All right, let's go back. Let's go to Philippians 2. That's where we want to go to right quick. And I want to read here, beginning at verse number 8, all right, and begin reading to make a point, verse 7 or verse 6. Go back to verse 6. Who said, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. See, now this purpose, see, but made of himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and been found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. See, wherefore God also has highly exalted him and gave him a name, right, Acts 4:12, See? Which is above every name, that at the name, about the authority of Jesus, every knee shall bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. All right. And then verse 12, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. And this is the point here. To work out your salvation with fear and trembling, right? Revelation 2:10, to be thou faithful unto death in order to receive the crown of life. In relationship to what he's saying here, that this power you're talking about, well, this power is not your power, it's God's power, because God's power from the beginning. And when God's will for you have it, you wouldn't have it anyway. Amen. See, because his will be done. And y'all know what? That's the goodness of being saved. If we go back and look, I'm telling you, if you go back and look, and we're seeing it now, right? When you read Ruth on yesterday, right? And you read how God worked. See, for this woman to hook up with righteousness, that is through scheme of redemption for the seed to come. Now, did you read it? See, what transpired during them four chapters? See, in order for God's will to be done. Now, that's just one phase. Now, we're going to see a whole heap of more phases in order for Shiloh to come. See, that we might be saved. So right now, why would Jesus want to be an argumentative with Pilate when he knew his will was going to be done anyway? Same thing. Why in the world do we want to be argumentative about a person knowing what he must do to be saved when the only thing that we can show him was in the book? Because that's all you can show him. The only thing you have the right to show a person when they ask the question, what must I do to be saved? Mark 16:16, Acts 2:38, and all the examples that we have in the book of Acts. You can't show them nothing then. Now, if they want to say no, all you have to do is ask Jesus to come into your heart. Well, the only thing I can say, well, prove it. You got a Bible? Show me. Because God's word ain't going to change. Deuteronomy 4:2, Proverbs 30:6, and Revelation 22:18-19. You can't add to nor take away. It's here. It's found. And God has never been a multiplicit God. But we see God's will being done. And that's the beauty of knowing and understanding. So based on your understanding and based on your knowledge, every day we can make the transformation in our life. See, in order to do the will of God. Anybody get a text from me today? Did y'all get a text from me today? Did anybody? You did? I want to read it. And the reason why I want to read it, because it has some implications to me. It says, hello, faithful saints. If you feel your heart with regrets of yesterday, now think about that, regrets of yesterday, and the worries of tomorrow, you have no today to be thankful for. Two scriptures, Philippians 3, right, and Matthew 6. Number one, see what happened yesterday is gone. Amen. Forget those things behind us and press on toward the what? But Jesus says in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, amen, in relationship to who we are, in relationship to the benefits that we have, not what happened yesterday, not what's going to happen tomorrow, but what happened today based on the power of the word of God. You got that? See, have you looked down and saw your seal this week? Talked to a brother, I texted a brother the other day. I said, your seal ain't broken, is it? Your seal not broken. Ephesians 4:30, how we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. Amen. See what I'm talking about? And all this come about, and Jesus knew all this was coming about in relationship, and it wasn't going to be no man who had an ego trip. Pilate had an ego trip. He thought because of who he was, he thought because of his authority, he thought because of his power, that he had control over Jesus. But he did not. Well, God's will had to be done, brethren, in order for us to be who we are right now. Amen. Do you understand that? See, not the regrets of yesterday, not the worry of today. See, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. Why? Because, see, what happened yesterday is gone. We're going to put those things behind, and we're going to press on toward the mark because we got, what, 21 books. Because we've been saved by four. Amen. Am I right? Y'all with me? See, through one, that if we are faithful in Revelation 2:10, see, John 10:10, I came that you may have life and that you have it more abundantly. You understand what I just said? You with me? So he wasn't going to worry about this little egotistical. So sometimes, like you're talking about, Brother Frazier, I run to people like that all the time. See, they don't know what they're talking about. It's just ego. It's just talking. I'm so glad that I know God's word, don't you? I'm so glad that I have an understanding. And let me clear it up. I don't know everything. But each day it get gooder and gooder. Amen. See, each day it get better and better. Each day I live and I can stand a little bit more, I draw closer. Am I right? Y'all still submitting? Resisting? Drawing? So you can be humble, so you can be lifted up. Amen. You with me? You with me? So that we can have that understanding. I said, you got to be humble for God's word to work in your life. Am I right? See, a haughty spirit, it violates John 4:24. See, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit. That's your attitude. See, it's how you came up in here tonight. Amen. Did you come in here tonight with the right spirit to receive and grasp the word? Amen. Are you just here? You with me? See, that's the reason why I take my worship very seriously. See, I'm not going to be in an environment that's going to be a hostile environment. I don't want to be in an environment that's going to be a fussing environment, a confusion. I don't even want my home to be like that. Amen. Because, see, I'm looking around making sure my seal ain't broken. Y'all know what I'm talking about? See, if y'all don't know Ephesians 4:30, y'all don't know what I'm talking about. I've been looking all week, making sure that thing stay intact. Amen. Amen. See. And it only comes through an understanding, not to have an attitude like him. Hey, see, a lot of times we go to school and get educated, don't we? See, educated. Or we get these good jobs, don't we? See, we think we have that dream home and move in the right neighborhood. And then sometimes we just don't have time for God, don't we? See, you better be careful. You better be careful because the law of reciprocity of Galatians 6 and this here, what goes up surely can what? That's a principle, brethren. See, that will all work. How you sow. See how you sow is determined your mindset. See, how you're going to receive and grasp the word. What are you sowing toward the spirit? See, as I asked the question, then we're going to go back. See, how many of you, since we left last Sunday, picked up your Bible? Or did you have to look for it to come here today? Where my Bible at, Doris? You understand what I'm saying? See, so that's the point. Y'all understand what we're saying? And the reason why I'm going there, and Sean made a good point, see, is this here, is that we got to appreciate, brethren, how all this thing came about. Am I right? In order to appreciate the goodness, and then to appreciate the church. Is that right? Come on, Randy. I know you want to say something. He's back there by the... Okay, go ahead. Okay. So let's continue to read. All right. Verse number 12. And from henceforth, see, Pilate sought to release him. See, now, wait a minute. You better be careful who you associate with. Hey, don't the Bible says, come ye out from among them? Am I right? Let's go over there and look at that right quick. Let me go over and look at that right over there. Over there in Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 6. All right, I want you to see that. See, now the mob would get involved in it. See, the environment was going to get, see, not only was he messed up, but everybody around him was messed up. Am I right? How in the world you going to protect your seal? How in the world you going to protect your spirituality? How in the world you going to protect and work out your salvation with fear and trembling? And you around heathens who don't want to change, Brother Frazier. Not want to, but they can't change because they don't know God's will. Do you hear me? See, if that's so, why did the Ethiopian eunuch have to be met by Philip? Why did God tell Peter to go down to where Cornelius was? Right? You understand what I'm saying? See, if they knew what to do, when he was reading out the book of Isaiah, the 5th chapter, he already knew what he had been reading. There'd been no need for Philip to say, well, do you understand what you're reading? Because he already would have known it. Amen? See, that's the reason why, brother, I say it all the time. See, be careful who your friend is. If your friend can't take you in a spiritual way or in a positive way, he ain't your friend. If that person who you call your friend gonna take you in a negative way or draw you against your spirituality, you need to cut him loose. Amen. Or hear the situation. Not only was Pilate confused, but now everybody around him was getting involved in it, which made him more confused. All right? So when you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, see, and you begin to read what the Holy Spirit says here in 6, beginning in verse number 14, when he says here, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers? See? Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers? Now you need to underline that word unbelievers, and you need to define it in relationship to those who are not saved. Those who are not saved, or let me put it this way, you can be in the church and still be an unbeliever. Amen? See? So just because you have been added to the body of Christ, that don't mean that you are saved and are still sanctified, because you still could be in darkness. Or as you say, the seal has been broken. You with me? Or let me put it this way. See, you have a spiritual makeup. And based on your understanding, you know what the Word of God is saying. Amen. So based on your knowledge and based on your understanding, based upon the book, anyone who come and talk contrary to the book, the Bible says in 2 John 9 to not partake. Because if you partake of their evil deeds. And that's what he says. Now, you think that's a choice? Right? So he said, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what concord has Christ with Belial? And what part has he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God? And we're going to talk about that Sunday when we start talking about the tabernacle. All right? With idols. For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them, I will walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now look what he said in verse 17. Wherefore come out from among them. You think that's a choice? See, when you hang around with unbelievers, unrighteousness, darkness, Belial, infidels, see, that's what he called them, didn't he? And you don't come ye out from among them, or don't realize that your body is a temple of God. Amen? Y'all with me? Or don't come from among them and be ye separate. You underline that. Said the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and he shall be my sons and daughters, said the Lord Almighty. Write Romans 8, 16 and 17 there. The reason why we're heirs of God and joint heirs of Jesus Christ. You see what I'm trying to say? See, we live in a mixed up world, brother. The church is even confused today. Am I right? So a lot of times we look at that passage and we'll tag it on to the denomination, and you better be careful. Amen. You better be careful. Because see, any time, brother, we don't come ye out from among them, but we hang out with Belial, infidels, or whatever it may be, unrighteousness, whatever it may be. See, at that point, it violates your worship. Because you can't worship God in spirit and in truth. Am I right? See? And that's the point that we should understand. Let's go to one more, 1 Corinthians, right quick, and then we'll go back. I want you to see this here because, see, this is what Jesus was up against. First Corinthians 6:19, he begins with that word, what, no. And by that word, no, write 1 John 5:13. Because these things were written that you may what? Say, these things were written that you may know. Because if they knew over here, they never would have hollered crucified him. See, if they knew and understood the Old Testament as they claimed they did, and they said, what about the law? See, if they really understood the law, they never would have said, crucify him, would they not? And am I right? If people, listen to what I'm saying, if people understood the church, the 27, well, you got to understand 39, because the 27 is hinges on the 39. See, if you understand that and understand the 21 once you get saved in the book of Acts, right, and understand the church and the purpose of the church and how it worked, then when you say the word no, you understand that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. If you understood John 14, John 15, John 16, 1 Corinthians 13, and then tie it all the way back to James 1:25, and there are many more in between, how we even got the Holy Spirit, or what the purpose of the Holy Spirit, or how the Holy Spirit worked, you would know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Right? Then once you know that, brethren, you ain't going to do nothing to abuse your body. Why would you know that and hang around with people knowing that they could cause your body to be defiled? Why would you hang around with anyone knowing that they're going to hurt you? Or they're going to cause you to lose your soul? Or cause you to have your seal broken? Why would you want to hang around people like that? Do you understand what I'm saying? But see, if you don't know, they didn't know. I guarantee you, if they knew who Jesus was, if they knew what Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and all the 17 prophets would have prophesied, they never would have hollered, crucify him, crucify. How in the world are you going to say, hurt somebody whom you love? Do you understand me? So that word knowing, 1 John 5:13, these things were written that you may know. What? The book. That's the reason why. I don't read no other book. See, I'm not interested in what you say on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. I'm not interested in what you say about this scripture, because here it is right here. I mean, why am I going to get confused when I got four or five brothers going to give different answers about what Matthew 19:9 says? Because, I mean, you can read six or seven different commentaries and they're all going to say different things. So everybody can't be right. But I know this right. I know this right. When I read Ephesians 5:19, Colossians 3:16, and all those scriptures that teach us how we sing, I don't have to argue why we don't use instrumental music. Because the Bible tells me what to do. See, I don't have no problem when brethren want a bass, I do. Or they want a group sing, I do. Amen. And then I got my brethren who do those things, and the Bible tells me to come ye out from among them. You think I'm going to hang around them and break my seal? Y'all with me? It's not going to happen. Now, it may be, if I didn't know no better, that's different. But I'm still wrong. But once I learn better, and once I know, know that my body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not of your own, for you were bought with a price. That's the reason why he died. Y'all remember? Enmity? You remember that? See, he gonna bruise the seed of the head, of the heel. See, Genesis 3:15. See, that's what the whole Old Testament is about. Amen. Thank God that he had the head. He had the authority. He had the power. And then that little ego man called Pilate gonna say, come on, man, who you think you is? Come on. Your arm's too short to box with God. He'll knock you out every time. Am I right? Thank God we saved. Amen. Y'all with me? See, so let's go back. I want to finish that. Go back to 19. He said, and from henceforth, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, if thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. And when Pilate therefore heard that saying. Now, what if he heard that saying, but still, if he knew truth, it wouldn't even matter. Amen. Your own family members, your own friends, your own associates, just because you do right and you in the church, they're going to be against you too. But that means that you're going to do what they tell you to do? When you know right? Am I right? You with me? You with me? Wherefore, Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover in about the sixth hour. And he said unto the Jews, behold your king. So we're at Passover, and we're going to talk about that. We might not have time to talk about it tonight, Exodus 12 and 13. And the reason why I want to talk about that is because Christ became our Passover, right? In fulfillment of scriptures in relationship to how God passed over Israel when they saw the blood. Right? On the side post and the door post. Amen. In relationship to understanding what is the will of God. See? So I just want you to write that there. That is that word Passover, right? In relationship to understanding what is the will of God. What that word Passover also is translated to be in Acts chapter 12. Easter. Huh? And matter of fact, let's go to that mark. I want you to mark that too. If you don't have that mark, Acts 12:4. All right? And that's another thing. The word Passover do mean, translated in Hebrew, to mean Easter. It ain't got nothing to do with the bun and the eggs. Amen? So Acts 12:4, just type in Passover, Exodus 12:13. Right? That is, for Christ to be our Passover, Isaiah 53, and many, many more that we need to talk about there in relationship to understanding what is the will of the Lord. But go back to 14 right quick. It says here, and it was the preparation of the Passover about the sixth hour, and he said unto the Jews, behold your king. But they cried out, away with him, crucify him. And Pilate said unto them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priest answered, we have no king but Caesar. But see, they did not understand the concept of a physical king versus a spiritual king. Same way today. The people want to make the church to be a physical church, which is not. All things are done in spirit and in truth. Spiritual. One of the biggest mistakes we made is to make a church the way we make it. Because a lot of people's concept of a church is like what you see here. But it's not these four walls. 1 Corinthians 12:12, there's one body but many members. We all are the church, the ecclesia, the called out body. Am I right? but it's a spiritual church in nature. And but they knew a king was coming, but they were looking for an earthly king. See, and Jesus' kingdom was not of this world, but his kingdom of Matthew 16, 18, see, is the church and is the kingdom. Go right quickly, let's go there right quick. And I want to show you what he's talking about there. Why he interchanged that in Matthew 16. And when Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," and Jesus answered and said, "Blessed art thou, Simon of Jonah, for flesh and blood is not revealed unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." In verse 16, 18, "And he said unto thee, that thou art Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." So that kingdom is the church, and Christ is the king over the kingdom, but it's a spiritual kingdom. Right? See, and then the binding is the loosing, is what happened in John 14, John 15, John 16, all the way to 1 Corinthians 13, "For we know in part and prophesied in part. But when that which is perfect has come, that which is in part shall be what?" To James 1:25, we got the perfect law of liberty. See, the apostles who was promised a miraculous and dwelling of the Holy Spirit, Mark 16:20, to confirm the word, right, was given power to bound and loose, right? That spirit of truth and that comfort, am I right? But James 1:25, see, now we have that perfect law of liberty where? In a spiritual kingdom. Well, see, they tried to tack Jesus to be a physical king. They knew he was coming, but they thought a king would be like President Obama. See, Jesus has a kingdom. He has a church, but it's a spiritual kingdom. Someone say, wait, someone asked me one day, "Where y'all headquarters at?" I said, "It's in heaven." "Well, I know it's in heaven." "Well, where is it?" I said, "It's in heaven." "Why is it in heaven?" "That's where Jesus is." Ephesians 1:3. Right? All spiritual blessings are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Where? In heavenly places. Jesus is at the right hand of God, the head of the church. Amen. Ephesians 1:22 and 23 and Colossians 1:18, over the kingdom. But that problem is go all the way back. See, Pilate didn't know. They didn't know. But when all this was brought up, about him being king of the Jews, they were looking for a physical kingdom. Same thing in the church today. The people want to make the church a physical kingdom. Why do you think they build all these big buildings? Spend millions of dollars on a building. People put more money in a building than them knowing who Jesus is. People put together more programs and spend more money on carnal things than on spiritual things. Guess what, y'all? The only thing that we need to operate the church is the Bible. We don't need nothing else. We can meet in a chicken coop if you know the word. You ain't got to have no church building. See? You ain't got to have no Sunday school material. Just the Bible. You don't need nothing else. Because the Bible is the thing that gives us understanding to know they're going to make the transformation. That building can't transform you. Why you think when tornadoes tear down churches, people are so upset? They can tear down a church building all they want to, as long as you don't break my seal. Tornadoes can burn, they can burn it, this building down. I'm going to still look around. My seal's still going to be intact. Amen. Am I right? Because we're part of the ecclesia, a spiritual kingdom. Well, Christ is the king. Y'all see me? If Fat Paul would ever get so big, I know your brother says, "Well, what we're going to do is buy about 5 houses going up here, and what we're going to do is add on to the building." That don't make sense. If we get so big, you ain't got enough room for everybody to get in here. You don't need to go to another service. No, start a new congregation. Take some faithful brethren. Send them the Roebuck. Send them to Jasper. You didn't hear me say Ethiopia, did you? Folk lost here in Birmingham first. We got to get straight. Am I right? Am I right? So we need to save some people here in Birmingham. Amen. So the answer would not start and have two or three services. The answer would be, let's use the spiritual brethren to spread the gospel. Teach people what they need to do to be saved. Amen. Am I right? See? Because, see, it's not this building. The only reason why we have this building is just because my house ain't big enough to hold y'all. Convenience. But we don't need to put all efforts in this building. All our efforts need to be in the book. Amen. Know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You got to protect your house. Don't you let no come out and come in there and mess your spiritual house up. Amen. And that's the reason why Pilate was messing up. He just didn't know. He just didn't understand. They didn't understand. Same way today. Thank God for truth. Amen. That's the reason why. Guard your spirituality. See, be careful. See, be vigilant. See, look careful. Examination 24/7. Because you ain't got but one soul. And we don't know where death is. And when you lose that, you don't have anything. Okay? And that's the point. We'll pick back up. Go ahead, Sean, one more comment. That's right. That's it. But pick it back on what you just said. But see, in order for that to happen, scheme of redemption had to take place. And what I mean by that is this here. If the baptism of the Holy Ghost, because see, you got to see the way Peter them was before they were endowed with it. You see how Peter acted before? To the point Judas hung himself, didn't he? You see what happened after they received. Because when you go with the Acts 1, Acts 2, when they asked Acts 2, when they said, what manner of men is this? Because they saw a change in them. Y'all remember that? And see, that change was so strong. That conviction was so strong. See, that's the point. When you know God's word, when you look at what you said, just don't stop there. But look at the church. Look at how all the apostles died. Did they have to have conviction to be crucified? Did John have to have conviction when he was on the Isle of Patmos? Or read Josephus when he tells the story how Caesar literally, you know, persecuted the church. I mean, he would take Christians for their conviction. That's why the book of Revelation is written in signs and symbols. To keep it out of the hands of the enemy. You understand what I'm saying? Because, see, for their testimony, for their truth. Now, for somebody to take you into Legion Field and turn lines on you, you got to know. Am I right? Because if you didn't know, you would be saying, I don't know him. Who is Jesus? Because you want to get over from the Legion Field, wouldn't you? But they had to have some convictions. And Sean, and that's what the power of the Word of God did. See, when you look at Romans 15:4, what some things are written aforetime, written for our learning. Oh, we should learn from this. See, in spite of how bad things may be, how difficult life may be, how much trials and tribulations may be in your life, man, you got the best thing in the world to stand on. It's called God's Word. See, you ain't going to lose with God's Word. His grace is sufficient. Amen. See, You think I'm being funny when I say that seal? No, I'm serious about that, man. Because see, when you got that, man, can't nobody harm you. Can't nobody harm you. But here we go again. See, you have to grow to that level of maturity. And to get there, you got to be in the right environment. You can't be in any kind of environment. You can't take something half wrong and make it right. You can't half-heartedly serve Jesus and do what you want to do and be right. You got to make a decision. He said, I'm a jealous God. If I can't have all of you, I don't want none of you. And that's the difference between Pilate. That's the difference between those people who are hollering, who are crying, crucify him, crucify him. They just didn't know. Versus we who do know. And that's the good thing. And who going to stand on God's word. Amen. See, in spite of. See. You might not have no friend. Might not nobody like you. See. Nobody might not never ask you to come and preach for them. But that's all right. That's all right. When you know you're right. Amen. It ain't about that. It's about truth. See? And that's the point that I'm saying. Y'all with me? See? And what Sean is saying is right. But see, for them apostles to get where they were to Acts 2, or the church to get to where, and guess what? It didn't stop there. Because even after the Church of Christ was established, I mean, Saul persecuted the church. I mean, he held the garment of Stephen. See, and still today, guess what, y'all? The church is still being persecuted. Am I right? Now, it might not be in the magnitude of we fear where we, whereby we fear where we worship, or we scared somebody gonna kill. It might not be that bad, but people still are antagonistic against truth. And you got people within the church when they say, Acts 20, among your own self, men shall arise to speak perverse doctrines, to draw disciples after them. So you got people within supposed to be our brothers and sisters, established in the back. Right or wrong? So all church folks ain't churching. You better be careful. If it ain't guided by the book. You can't prove it, brother. You need to leave it alone. I'm telling you, man. See, and when you stand on truth, see, I'm telling you what's going to happen. You're going to lose some friends. See? Somebody said, well, Al, how long have you been there? That's a long time. How many members you got? 10? You know why? Because it's going to be a few. A truth will make you run. I'm telling you, it'll run you away from him. Amen. But they say, I did. I ain't did nothing but preach the word. Am I right? All right, we out of time. We appreciate you being with us tonight. We had a wonderful time tonight, didn't we? And let's continue to pray for Terry's mother.